Are you looking for a meaningful job? Consider Lonza in Portsmouth. Lonza, the innovative company that's creating life-changing medicines, is hiring for its manufacturing operations team. All candidates are welcome to apply. Pay begins in excess of $21 per hour and features an excellent benefits package. College degrees are not required. Lonza is helping fight the pandemic, partnering with Moderna in the development of messenger RNA drug substance of the Moderna COVID vaccine. Work for the company at the cutting edge of medical technology. Visit joinlonzaportsmouth.com. Lonza, making a meaningful difference.
Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Sharliff. The show is heard on WBCQ, The Planet, every Monday and Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also listen to it on our Podomatic page, Podomatic.com, and just put in Camp Constitution in their little search engine, and our show will come up, and you'll find many of our archive shows as well as lectures and present speeches by the late, great Sam Blumenfeld, as well as some other classics, Gary Allen, Nandir Kala Conspiracy presentation he gave way back in, I think, the late 70s, and other gems like that. So, again, and we also put some things on our YouTube, some of these shows on our YouTube channel. And please go to our YouTube channel and subscribe, as well as our Rumble channel. And this show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp and ladies' retreats. And we have our ladies' retreat coming up next weekend at the Singing Hills Christian Camp, the same place where we hold our annual family camp. And that would be in Plainfield, New Hampshire. The ladies' retreat, October 1st, for a little after 5 p.m., potluck supper. And then it's a great weekend with the ladies. They'll be doing some wreath making. Polly Heath, a Christian performer. She's a recording artist, and she's going to be discussing the book, John, what's it called, Dearest Friend, the letters between John and Abigail Adams. There'll be a lot of fun things going on, some great preaching and teaching on the Bible and on the Constitution and other things. So you can visit our website and get more information about that. Contact us, there's still room. And set your calendars for our family camp, which is July 17th to the 22nd, I think, in next year, 2022. And we'll be, as we do every year, we'll have a great lineup of instructors and activities. And book early, because last year we filled up. So again, visit our website, campconstitution.net. Before I discuss the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx, I just want to mention, I heard one of the radio talk show hosts, I'm not sure which one it was, and I'm sure most of them have, on the conservative, patriotic side, probably have said something like this, but he said that if you were, and I'm not quoting verbatim, but if you were a declared enemy of the United States, what would you do different than what Joe Biden and his handlers are doing? Everything they're doing is in the worst interest of the United States. I mean, everything. From the people he appointed or he was told to appoint and their activities, the open borders, the economics. You know, they want to completely destroy the economy. If they want to pass, what, $5 trillion worth of giving it to all of their leftist supporters, so-called green energy and the Green New Deal, and they just want to tank the economy. They want to flood the country with people who hate us and hostile to us. Already the Afghanis, as no one was surprised. Let me point this out. No doubt, and I've met some Afghanis that are good people, but the folks they're bringing in are unvetted, and just what they did in Europe, why would they do anything different? You know, they're already raping women and assaulting women. It's when you have a certain worldview that despises Christianity, they look at the Christian women in this country, or women in general, and all Christians, as dogs and pigs, and it's sort of like you're allowed to have sex with them and rape them. That seems to be their culture. It's okay to do that. Since you don't respect, they're not Muslim women, you don't respect them. So why should we be surprised when we hear these cases? And people say, oh boy, Biden is making another blunder. And I getting tired of hearing other conservative voices say, oh, he's so inept and incompetent. No, I wish it was just plain ineptness or ineptitude. What's happening is happening deliberately. It's the destruction of the United States. It's what the left calls and what Obama called and what Biden affirmed it, the radical transformation of America. And their radical transformation isn't something that's going to be a better version of America. It's going to be a third world stinkhole with a power elite at the top that would be very hard, if not impossible, to topple, to get them out, and an impoverished class of poor people. You'll have a middle class of your engineers and the button pushers, and you'll have your athletic elite, which you already have. But like in the Soviet Union, the athletes had special status. They were allowed to turn. In 1984, the great thing to do is you could turn off that monitor. Well, that's, using that as an analogy. But I think we're going to defeat them. But that's what their plan is. And I think our biggest enemy is discouragement. We just have to keep reach out. We have to educate people. There's some people that will never change their position. In fact, as you inform them of the error of their ways, they double down. You'll see that with sports teams. They're losing fans, and they're still pushing this Black Lives Matter nonsense. And you think, okay, maybe they'll get them. No, they double down. The neighbor with his rainbow flag and Black Lives Matter banner, and you say, maybe that organization isn't so great. They'll put two more signs up. But there are a lot of people who are just sitting on the fence and really don't know. They don't have any particular contempt of America. They generally like this country, and they want to be able to maintain their lifestyle. So they'd be more apt to listen to us, and that's really the audience we have. We have to reach out to people and get them out to vote and vote the right way too, and also at all levels. It's not just voting, at the national election, but all levels, town government. Now, over the weekend, I was very honored to attend an event FreedomWorks put on in Laconia, New Hampshire, just two towns away. And I videotaped all but one of the presentations. One of the presentations was a Zoom. The person came in on our Zoom, and it's kind of tough to take a video of a video. And there was some problems with the sound. But One of the instructors that I really enjoyed was Reverend C.L. Bryant, and he's a very dynamic speaker, and we uploaded his presentation, and there was some local elected officials, Jade Wood, who was a Camp Constitution attendee with her two girls. They did a panel. She's an activist mom, and she really puts the school committee in her town on notice that she's not putting up with the nonsense. And you had elected officials, Jim Kohlfeldt of the New Hampshire 603 Alliance. I've known Jim for a long time. Don Johnson, she's a very dynamic lady. She's a state rep. She's a school committee member. And she's running for mayor of Laconia. So that's really amazing. And many others, too. So Skip Murphy of the Granite Gark, which is an online media source, and they're the most popular media source in New Hampshire. So please visit our YouTube channel. I get two of the videos uploaded so far. I'll be working on the other ones the rest of the week. And also check out our schedule, our online calendar. We've got a lot of things coming up besides what I mentioned, the ladies' retreat. All right. Well, I had the privilege of speaking to a Christian school, college in Massachusetts, dealing with the Constitution. That was my topic. And I mentioned the Communist Manifesto. There were about 85, 90 people, students and some teachers. And I asked who has read the Communist Manifesto. And only a few hands went up. In fact, it was, I think, just one hand went up. One. And it wasn't even a teacher. He was the accountant, I think, a longtime gentleman that had been there, I think, at this particular school for many years. And anyway, we hit it off. We spoke after. He came up to me afterwards. So the Communist Manifesto was published in 1848. by Karl Marx, and the original had a preface by Frederick Engels. Frederick Engels was his colleague. He was, well, I guess Marx didn't really have any colleagues. You know, it was his way or the highway, so to speak. But Engels was one of his funders. He was a son of an industrialist. And you have to understand that without capitalism or free market, communism couldn't exist because communism is a parasite. It sucks the lifeblood of not just economics, but freedom. So it's not just an economic system. You can't have a free country and have Marxist economics. You can't have both. And it's much more than just economics. It's culture. It's social. It's just the way you look at the world. You don't see Stalin saying, "Oh, gee, I just want to control the economy, the food, and transportation, but I'm not going to mess with the way you look at the world. I'm not going to shut your churches down." No. They are very aggressive in taking over completely. And they've made great inroads in this country, and you'd say, "Oh, wait a minute, we're the freest people in the world." Really? Look at all the regulations just to open up a business. Look what happened, and still going on with this scamdemic, and how these little tyrants shutting churches down, and people put up with that. People stood for that. "Well, that's okay. You know, we all don't want to die of this disease." You know, I'm not making light of COVID. I got it, but it didn't kill me. But we're more than willing to take our freedoms away. The pandemics are nothing new in the history of mankind. In fact, we think we're better equipped to deal with them than we ever have been because of the technology. And you've got these people who are so quick to take the vaccine, and they're still wearing masks, and people who just won't take them off. They actually think those little thin face diapers actually will stop this virus, and they'll fight you over it. They'll even be willing to kill you. They won't be willing to defend this country, but they'll defend the face mask. They'll defend this lying fraud, this evil Fauci, who lied about funding the Wuhan virus, the Wuhan laboratory. So anyway, and of course, then you look at the church. You see all these churches flying these rainbow flags and flying the Black Lives Matter banner. Are you kidding me? So they made great inroads. And you don't have to have an army come in and take over a country through a military force. That works in some cases. Here, the goal wasn't to have a military revolution or a violent revolution, although there is an element of violence involved. But it's more of the Gramsci approach. That's the communist Italian theoretician. He said, take over the culture, take over the institutions, put your people in places. So you have a college that used to have that was founded by Christians. It is now a bastion of communism and socialism, like Harvard. You actually have an atheist who's a chaplain. You look at your CEOs of your large corporations. You know that all yeah. They're capitalists, all right. They're monopoly capitalists. And monopoly capitalists have no trouble working with communists. They have, you see all these companies that do business with communist China. They just love it. they want to be the only sneaker manufacturer. They want to be the only company that makes whatever computers or whatever software or whatever they make. They want to have, if not a monopoly, a near monopoly. You know, just a few companies, and they squeeze out the smaller companies, put them out of business. See, that's what happened to COVID, didn't it? So anyway, the Communist Manifesto, according to my good friend Duke Pesta, who is a professor at University of Oshkosh in Wisconsin, he said that the Communist Manifesto is the most well-popular book in college campuses today. And it's only 37 pages, so it's more of a booklet than an actual book. And it's basically the communist plan. You know, you don't have to read every single dull tome by Karl Marx and Lenin and all these other crazy communists. You read the Communist Manifesto, you get a gist of what they want. You know, keep it simple. And there's a version that I have that was published by the John Birch Society, and William Fall wrote the preface to it. And it's called an introduction for college students. And you gave a little biographical sketch of Karl Marx. He was a repulsive human being. He was critical of everybody. He was actually an informant, a police informant. So he was a rat. He was a very unkempt, didn't bathe very often, and was malodorous, to say the least. He had a wife and children. One of his children died of starvation. Marx would rat out a fellow socialist that weren't part of his little clique. I think it was the Prussian police he worked for. The only working class person he had any contact with was the maid, was his maid that was almost like not exactly a slave, as they had slavery in the United States, but pretty much a bondwoman. You know, she was a gift at his wedding. Now, according to Pastor Rumbrandt, who wrote a book called Tortured for Christ, he believed that Marx at one point embraced Christianity and then became an out-and-out Satanist. Whether or not he was an avowed Satanist or not, you can just look at his life and look at what he wrote, and you say, well, pretty satanic stuff. So pretty satanic, whether or not he was a formal practicing Satanist or not. In the manifesto, among other things, he says that communism abolishes eternal truths. That's pretty evil. No, that's not pretty evil. That is pure, unadulterated evil. And also, Marx was a racist, of course, you would assume that, and an anti-Semite. And you might say, well, wait a minute. No, he was Jewish or had a Jewish background. Yes, that's right. He was born into a Jewish family. He didn't follow the teachings of Judaism. He rejected it, of course. And he wrote a book called A World Without Jews. I have a copy of that. He saw Jews as the ultimate capitalist. In fact, I don't like to use the word capitalist because that's a term that was coined by Marx, I believe. And, of course, the word capital is sort of the means of production, you know, the labor and the land, labor and materials. It's a question of how is that capital being used, who owns it. And in a free market economy, the capital is owned by the private sector. And that would include the transportation, communications, and other means of production. In a socialist country, the country owns some of the means of production. It may own the water, you know, the power plants and things like that. But if it doesn't own it, they control it. And that's the same thing with fascism too, where basically it's privately owned but controlled. So, for example, I can own a store. I can own a little department store or a grocery store. But the government tells me what to sell, who to sell it to, when to open, when to close, who to hire, how much to pay them, et cetera, et cetera. How to label the products. See, it sounds a little bit like this country, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah, try to open up a business. And, you know, some states are more free market or less restricted than others. And I here live in New Hampshire, and if you look at all of the, make a list of all of the rules and regulations that states have to, or people have to deal with, New Hampshire is one of the least restrictive states. You still have to get certain permits for things, but in some states like New York and California are horrible states. It's almost impossible to open up a business there. So that's really, and communism is a system where the state owns just about everything. Yeah, you might have your own furniture in your house, you know, your little personal belongings. But you don't own land, you don't have that beachfront property, unless you're a Communist Party official in good standing, you know. But everything's owned by the state, just about everything's owned by the state. And you'll see, what happens in these countries where everything is owned by the state? Well, there's poverty, no freedoms, and there's really no incentive to work too hard. You know, so there used to be all kinds of jokes in the Soviet Union about, working and not working, and what was it, one of the great lines, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work, and the only time they get any production is towards the end of whatever the quarter is, where they have quotas for so many pieces of furniture and, you know, whatever they have quotas for, and they work hard to meet the quota, and after the rest of the time they don't work too hard. And why not? There's no incentive to work. There's no incentive to improve. So I think the most important part of the Communist Manifesto, by the way, Marx was against homeschooling, of course, and you see a lot of European countries where homeschooling has been outlawed. You will go to jail if you try to homeschool. It's not just that you'll be fined, you go to jail. He didn't think marriage was a good thing, you know, because he was married, but he wasn't, we call it, a loving father and husband. Everything that the Christian worldview embraces, he rejects. And you see that today, most Western nations, few exceptions, Poland and Hungary and a few others, their governments are adamantly pushing everything that's antithetical to Christianity and Judaism, so you can say Judeo-Christianity. They redefine marriage, and they're aggressively supporting it. It's not just, well, you live and let live. They are out and out aggressively promoting it. Almost every school in this country, the United States, is pushing homosexuality, transgenderism, and these other 50 or 60 genders. And they're doing it at the elementary school. And people were warned. You know, it's not like we were surprised by this. To some extent, some people are surprised. But if they listen to the warnings of people like Sam Blumenfeld and others, they would have pulled their kids out of government schools a long time ago. But that's another topic. So if you Karl Marx wrote 10 planks that you find in the Communist Manifesto, and he basically said, if you adopt these 10 planks, you will have yourselves a communist country. And this is important. And by the way, you don't have to find this Communist Manifesto. You don't have to go to Amazon. You can just go right online and find it. It's very easy. Although it probably wouldn't be a bad idea. I have about 10 or 11 copies of this particular version that was published by the John Birch Society with the preface by John Fall. I don't know if it's online here. So let me just read the paragraph before the 10 planks of the manifesto. There are, besides eternal truths such as freedom, justice, etc., that are common to all states of society, but communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. Instead of constituting them on a new basis, it therefore acts in contradiction to all past historical experience. And by the way, this is why it's so important for the communists to destroy a history, and this is why they see statues being pulled down, books not outright burned so much as just being banned. And you see books being pulled out of libraries, being tossed away, and being replaced by books that are like Howard Zinn's book. What does this accusation reduce itself to? The history of all past society has consisted in the development of class antagonisms that assume different forms at different epochs. So, and you see this whole, this 1619, this is rewriting our history. So this is what they do. So it's, this 1619 project is pure communism. You know, use the term cultural Marxism, but it stems from the destruction of our history. The communist revolution is the most radical rupture with traditional property relations. No wonder that its development involves the most radical rupture with traditional ideas. We have seen above that the first step in the revolution by the working class is to raise the proletariat to a position of ruling class, to win the battle of democracy. You see the word democracy? Oh, they love that word. Our nation is not a democracy, although most people in both major parties believe so. So win the battle of democracy. And this notion of the working class ruling, that's a lie. The working class will have very little say. You have a few people coming out of the working class that will, you know, rise in the ranks, much like a mafia. You know, the mafia thrived on getting the most ruthless and efficient bosses at the top. That's so they end up killing each other. And here in the United States, you don't see politicians, they don't see Joe Biden killing necessarily outright killing people. to get where he was. It's a little more subtle than that, although there is a level of ruthlessness to get where you are, to stay where you are, and of course be willing to do the bidding of these folks. And of course Biden, he wrote an essay back in, he probably had it written for him back in the early 90s. You can find it. I think it was published by the Wall Street Journal. I'm not sure. And it's How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Yes, Joe, you have to love the New World Order because that's what your mission is as president, and you will not deviate from that at all. That's what you were put there to do. That's why you stayed. A man of your mediocre abilities stayed as U.S. Senator and then tapped for vice president and now president because you are totally willing. You are totally corrupt and willing to do the bidding. And you've been enriched. You've been enriched by these folks. You own 3 homes, 3 mansions. You're a multimillionaire. You know, the senators make a half-decent salary, but you've got money somewhere else, and we know where you got it from. It's no secret, although you don't see the mass media except a few conservative sources even talking about it. So let me just review the 10 planks. So I don't know if I have time to review all of them. But number one, abolition of property and land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. So now we do have public property, private property, but it's under attack, and that through Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. A heavy progressive or graduate income tax. Yeah, we have that in our country too, don't we? Abolition of all rights of inheritance. Well, you could die. They still let you die. In fact, they'll help bring it about. But when you die, you can't leave your stuff to whom you wish to leave it to, family members. Now, you can still do that to some extent. But during the Wilson administration, they passed an inheritance tax. So it's much more difficult to give your property away to whom you wish to give it to without high taxes. In fact, that's why the left set up trust the big old foundations, a way to skirt that those taxes. So they come up with a tax plan, and then they have ways to go around it. And they call you, if you do something like this, they'll say you're evading taxes, or you're not being moral, even though it's legal. You're not moral. You're cheating all these poor people out of their money. But they're the ones that have set up the foundations way back 100 years ago. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Well, we have Federal Reserve Bank, which is not quite what Marx had in mind, but it's similar. Centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. So when they control the transportation and communication, they determine who can communicate and who can travel and that thing. Extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands, and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. Yeah, so communists will destroy farmland. They had all kinds of policies that wiped out farms. Franklin Roosevelt, the Dust Bowl, and other the fires in California because of land regulations. And then they're gonna bring it back into cultivation after they end up owning it. Equal liability of all to labor, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of population over the country. So here they are talking about taking people. Relocating people, doing away with the concept of country, and of course that's what we see these internationalists, the United Nations are set up to do that, and that's very important too. You see the open borders because what we would see as illegal immigration, they just see as migration, and the communist Chinese, they resettle people, they forcibly take them out of the cities and put him into the take him out of the rural areas and put him in the cities. And again, we don't have it to that extent, but what happens is they make life so miserable, so difficult in certain areas that and sometimes that works out. And one of the things they never expected is all these people to leave the cities. They want people in the cities so they can control them. But more people are getting out of the cities and living in the rural areas. And the last one is free education for all children in public schools, abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production, et cetera, et cetera. He always has a lot of et ceteras here. But see, free education, it simply means that the government completely controls education. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening to Camp Constitution Radio. And to get a call, again, go online and just put in Communist Manifesto. But I do have a few. If you want to reach out to me, my Facebook page, Camp Constitution, I have about 5 or 6, maybe 8 or 9 copies. I'll be happy to share them. And with that, I want to thank you for listening again. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Sherliff. And until next week, may God richly bless you.
Are you looking for a meaningful job? Consider Lonza in Portsmouth. Lonza, the innovative company that's creating life-changing medicines, is hiring for its manufacturing operations team. All candidates are welcome to apply. Pay begins in excess of $21 per hour and features an excellent benefits package. College degrees are not required. Lonza is helping fight the pandemic, partnering with Moderna in the development of messenger RNA drug substance of the Moderna COVID vaccine. Work for the company at the cutting edge of medical technology. Visit joinlonzaportsmouth.com. Lonza, making a meaningful difference.